post this is track 5. Hallelujah. This is track 5. Track 5. Don't forget, this is not a teaching you quickly put out on Facebook or you quickly, even I think, thank God it's God ordained that. Let me just use the word, it's God ordained that. I'm not even teaching this in church where we might likely be live and people will be kind of, what are you guys looking for? Stuff like that. But it's until you look at what we are studying, that's when you see how important it is. And also, like at the Fire Assembly, we have been coming from just less than 2 years, but it's actually a long way because in those 2 years, I can say we have met a lot, especially in the last 1 year. And we trust God for many more years in consistency, many more years teaching God's word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for another time to hear of you. Thank you for another time to learn of you this evening. We said no one is rebellious. We said we are not teaching out of our own experience. We're not teaching out of our own carnal, with our own carnal wisdom, but we teach by the Spirit of God in us alone and alone. We teach the revelation of your Son, and we say we are precise in this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So good evening, everybody. Thanks so much. You said happy birthday. Hope you enjoy your day. I trust that you enjoy your day. Sorry, I have not said anything since morning. Amen, amen. Apostasy track 5. And also, sorry, some people are actually saying, stylish that pastor did not wish anybody happy Easter, that am I a giver witness? Am I not doing? I have my wife there. We have my wife there now. So she's enough Easter for you. Amen. So thanks so much. Happy Easter. It's a great time, eh? It's a great time. So praise God. Are you ready? Can you see Amen clearly? And are you ready? It's paramount that you are ready for this. So I think let me start gradually today. So the problem, please take this introduction very serious. Let me have like 10 minutes of introduction before I go to what we really want to discuss today. So the problem with the advancement of the world, or the problem with Christianity, the problem with the furtherance of the world, is not actually lack of knowledge. The problem with the reason why maybe the faith has lingered this much, the reason why things has not been the way it ought to be as touching the Christian faith, is not because of lack of the knowledge of God's word. It's not because of that. It is, like I can call it, it is the deficiency of that sacrificial as to get committed to the gospel. Yes, it's that deficiency of that sacrificial as to get committed to the gospel. Like, what it means that the problem is not that we don't know Greek words. It's not the lack of Greek words. It's not because we don't know the Greek word of redemption. It's because we don't understand what I call the username and password for ministry. Hallelujah. Hope you are getting me. Don't say I'm too fast, so this is just introduction. Let me say it again. The problem with the furtherance of the gospel is not lack of, it's not scarcity of the knowledge of God's word right now. In this age and time, it's not the scarcity of the knowledge of God's word, but it is lack of that commitment. Lack of commitment is lack of commitment. Hallelujah. When you log into, when you log into www.christfortheworld.com, the username is labor or sacrifice. The password is urgency. And in case you are looking for an alternative email account, it is quick repentance. Hallelujah. At a defiance.org, something like that. Hope you get what I'm trying to say. So it's that lack of commitment, lack of sacrifice. And when we see that we are erring, E-R-R-I-N-G, lack of quick repentance, Christians will be exposed to their state, to the truth of God's word, and they will say, well, don't worry, I will work on it. He says, you repent, so you will work on it. What is that? Hallelujah. So what I mean is that if all that is known, or if all that we have been taught, if all Christians has been taught, if we are committed to sharing it, the world will be better. Amen, amen. The world will be better. So it's not the absence of knowledge. No, it's not. It's not the absence of knowledge. Praise God. For instance, Watchmanil has come, he has gone, his materials are still there, Kenyon materials are still there, Kenneth Yegin is still there, Living Word Media is still there, Grace Place Media, over 1,200 messages of Pastor Sekou, they are still there. So the issue is not that God is not revealing. The issue is not that the word of God is not clear enough. It's that Christians with misplaced priority in ministry. Hallelujah. That is the issue. Christians with misplaced priority in ministry. I call them stagnant waters. They shout everywhere, ministry work, the word no more, yet no ministry. Hallelujah. So that is the issue. It's not that, like, for instance, I just look at the things that young men has done. If at least, let me just use Pastor Onyeka as an example. If at least all he has taught us, everybody is committed to sharing it like him, things will be better. Things will be better. We have less atheists. We have less people going to homosexualism. In fact, it will make the environment better. We have less drunkards, less people, less smokers, less people going giving to drugs. We have less of them on our streets. Amen, amen. Of course, I'm not saying the gospel is the primary way. Is the way I'm not presenting gospel right now as a way of making morality better. But of course, you know, the gospel also makes morality better. So we must get committed to preaching this. Hallelujah. Praise God. And please, I need your feedback. I need to know if you are hearing me, because don't forget, I can't hear anything from you. So, when you quit on a joining like this, when, like now, you are being exposed to the truth of God's word, when progressively you are becoming better, when you quit on a journey like this, trust me, you will become worse. Of course, I'm there. I don't pray that for you that you are hearing me around now. But when a man quit on a journey like this, on a journey of discovery like this, he will become worse. Just like a guy that 3 years ago that follows me everywhere, we hear the word everywhere, the word works, everything, the word works, awesome, glory to God, Christ alone, redemption. I just suddenly saw him today. I know then 3 years ago, then he got married. And perhaps when he got married, he now saw the pressure of life. Hallelujah. Now he saw the reality of life. Perhaps he now faces life, and today, I just saw him back on Facebook today. I was trying to chat with him. I can't even say if he's a universalist or a free thinker. I didn't even know the one he belongs to. Amen. This is just like somewhere in between. Praise God. So you don't quit on a journey like this. And that is where the place of the church is important. I pity those for any flimsy reason. Just leave the place where they are learning God's word. Amen. Of course, I said flimsy reason. Amen, amen. Praise God. And also, when you relocate, you find a way to keep up that devotion, to keep learning. Or else, in 4-5 years time, you just see yourself. You are just not better than Guru Maharaj. Not you, sha. In Jesus' name. Praise God. So, for instance, let me ask you this. What do you think the devil will do when you dissociate? What do you think the devil will do to you when you dissociate? Guess what? He will supply you with more doubts daily for you not to come back. That's the issue. He will supply you with more doubts. More doubts. That doubts of the wicked in Ephesians chapter 6. He will supply it daily for you not to come back to this road of sincerity and consistency. That is why to such people, they look like they cannot repent. They seem unrepentant. It's because on that their journey away from God, the devil will give them more and more evidence, more and more doubts. So I beg you, especially ministers of Edifier Assembly, when you teach the gospel, teach it with priority. Don't present it as a Sunday message. Don't present it as a cool off after a tedious week. Don't present it as just as what we do on Sunday. Or don't present it as how God makes your week better. No, teach it with priority. Teach it with as man's only or as man's greatest devotion. That's how we teach the gospel. We don't teach it as one of those things. Hallelujah.
That's why I was telling you that when you got yours, was saying, teach positive, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All of that things shall be. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about spiritual things. Man must place premium on spiritual things. Premium on discovering God. Praise God. Matthew chapter 4, 24. Matthew 4, 24. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. So, see, and he said unto them, take heed, I learned this from Pastor Jeremy clearly, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, more shall be given. So, like, I love the way, of course, the way Amplified puts it, that the amount of thinking and meditation you give to what you hear is the amount of virtue that will come back to you. So, KJV says, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. That was the point. So, now, the audience must pay attention. Don't forget that. That was the point. Hearing the word, you must give your attention. It must, for instance, your note on this topic, if you have not revised it, if it's revised it from Saturday till now, I don't know what is wrong with you. Like, I really don't know. Like, I didn't know what you are expecting to hear today. Amen, amen. So, you must pay attention. You must give your mind to it. You must give, see, God is in need of men. You are, somebody like you, you are scarce. At times in the nearest 100 kilometers, you are the only one thinking about God. Everyone else is thinking about themselves. Hallelujah. At times, everyone in the nearest, in fact, at times, maybe even in the city you are, at a time, perhaps everyone is just thinking of themselves. At times in the whole company you are, everybody is just self-centered. You are the only one thinking of God at that time. So value yourself. That you don't have the car that your neighbor have does not mean that you devalue yourself. Amen. So, pay attention to God's word. Give yourself to it. Give yourself to meditation. Yeah, give yourself to meditation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Honor teachings. Imagine somebody attending maybe Carrie's camp, or you attending what happened in 3 days that you just finished. And in between maybe first and second teaching, or in between the teaching, in between morning session and afternoon session, you are on Facebook and you are writing letter to your future boo. Is that not stupidity? How will that be blessed in the meeting? Like, imagine now, as we just finish this topic right now, the first thing you just want to put out is, come and see the dog in my house. That means your mind is not in what you are hearing. All right, now, as you finish this now, you want to, and the next thing your hyper brain wants to quickly put out and post is, and yes, Game of Thrones is coming. Amen. That means your mind is not in the teaching. That's the point. Praise God. So it's not a church thing. The word of God, at least that you are dropping this message, at least for the, you should not drop a, you should not, that's why it's awful for people to run out of church after Sunday service and you're busy pinging all your friends in the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we must pay attention. We must pay attention. So that is to the hearers and to the preachers too, which also you are. The preacher too must have words as his confidence to bless men. The preacher, now let me start coming down, let me start getting slowly so I can write. The preacher too must have words alone as his confidence to bless men. That's the point. The preacher must have words as his confidence to bless men. Because that is how faith comes. Remember Romans 10:17? Romans 10:17. Of course, I believe you have your Bible. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. So it must be clear that you value words. It must be clear. It must be clear to you. It must be clear to all. To all your hearers that you value words, that words is your confidence to bless men. See Titus 1 verse 1.
So this is still Apostasy track 5. I'm still very much in the introduction. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the truth of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. 3. But as in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Hallelujah. Can you see that? He said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but in due times manifested his word through preaching, through preaching, through preaching, preaching, through preaching. Hallelujah. So preaching must be your confidence. Don't rely on any other medium other than words. Don't rely on any other medium other than words. Because when you do, the first thing you are doing is that you are dishonoring Jesus. It's to dishonor Jesus and his scripture. Because he said clearly in Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus, I said, when you rely on anything other than preaching, when you rely on anything else other than words, to bless men, you are dishonoring Jesus and his scripture. You are claiming that you know more than God. Because like Matthew 28 verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that have all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So he said it clearly, use words, teach, preach, teach all nations. Hallelujah. Based on the Father, that authority is given to me, teach them. Teach them. Teach them. So that's number one. Number two, when you use any other word, medium other than words, other than preaching and teaching, you are neglecting the more excellent way. You are neglecting the more excellent way. Just like people who use drama and choreography. Or you want to preach the death of Jesus, you are putting somebody on the cross, like plenty people are putting on Facebook. Hope you're not part of those who are don't even bother to debunk such issue. Don't even put it on your timeline at all. So you are to neglect the more excellent way. It's like you are taking men through a longer route to know God. When you use drama, you are making it more difficult. You are taking men through a longer route to know God. For instance, let me show you something from Acts 10, verse 9. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Amen, amen. Hope you are with me. Thanks so much. See Acts 10, verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went up and upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Verse 10, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But when they made ready, he fell into a trance, which you know the story, and the heaven opened, and the certain vessel descended unto him, and it had been, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creepings, and fowls of the earth. And there came a voice to him, rise and eat. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said unto him, not so, Lord, for I have not eaten anything that is uncommon or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that called that not common. And this was done 3 times, and the vessel was received up again to heaven. Now, why Peter doubted in himself, what the vision should mean? Go to verse 19. Why Peter, now, compare everything we have reading since verse 19. Why Peter thought on the vision? His spirit said unto him, behold, 3 men seek thee. Arise therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I send them. So which one is clearer? The drama or the clear instruction?
Peter, rise, kill and eat. What God has cleansed, don't come. Thing came, happened again. But when the Spirit will be speaking, see, just he said, the Spirit said to Peter, behold, three men seek thee, arise therefore, get down, go with them, doubting nothing. Hallelujah. So rely on words. See 1 Corinthians 1:18. We must rely on God's communication. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross, preaching, announcing the preaching of the cross. Amen, amen. So we must rely on God's communication. Let me say something about the choir. To the Corinthians, when there's something in music that they call intro. When the keyboard drums and just doing before they now start singing. Well, you know, all people, when you want to sing a song, you're already dancing. You want to sing, but as an introduction to the song, you're already dancing. Don't you know that it can teach your audience another priority? You have not said anything, you are already demonstrating, dancing. It can teach, and it's not joining the Holy Ghost. You can teach your audience another priority. Like, you want to sing, why not start by explaining the song? Funny enough, I wrote this down before Mimun Sunday service, and awesome, I love the way EZ took the worship in Kubwa branch on Sunday. Very awesome, exactly what I wrote here. I said, because before singing, why not start by explaining the song? In fact, you can spend 2 minutes explaining. I recommend 2 minutes minimum explaining what you want to sing. Show them from scripture. It's not out of the place that you want to sing and say, bring out your Bible, let's read. It's not out of place. Song is not a time for unseriousness. In fact, in between the song, you can stop us again and speak. The priority must be knowledge. So, nothing must overshadow words. Nothing must overshadow words. That's why I prefer, before you get a stage light, why not get a projector or get a screen for people to read your lyrics? It's a crime to sing a song that you don't know. It's a crime, a big one, a very big crime. Amen, amen. Because it's about knowledge. It's not about the tone. It's not about the emotion. It's not about the exact. Emotions come and go, don't you know? Plenty songs, they're only emotional. It comes and go. But it's what you have learned in the song that will remain with you after the service. Hallelujah. Praise God. People sing Celine song and they cry too. So it's not about people are crying. People are slain under your spirit. No. People are slain under Michael Jackson. See, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 19. Sorry, see, it's still apostasy. I'll start soon. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this word? Hath God not made foolish the wisdom of this word? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hallelujah. Maybe because, you know, this is a book that is actually written to correct the Corinthian church. Maybe it's because some people with wisdom of words must have come to this church before to batter and bruise them. And that is why Peter and Paul is also bringing them this correction. See verse 12. Go back to verse 12. Say, now this I said, that every one of you said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollo, I'm of Peter, I'm of Christ, etc. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, I value words. See, I use words as my confidence in communicating the gospel of Christ. That's the point. It's not that we don't know drama. It's not that we don't know choreography. It's not that we don't know gimmicks. It's not that we don't know wise quotes. But we value words. We value preaching. Just simple preaching. Simple preaching. Hallelujah. Okay, let me start. I will start straight from where we stopped. So if this is your first time joining us, you have a lot to catch up with. Amen. So now, please try and follow me slowly. I will be slower now. So we have seen that the spirit of the unbeliever actually exists without God. that the spirit of the unbeliever, it exists in disunity. It exists in separation from God. Because the mind must agree with the gospel for the spirit of God to be given to the unbeliever. So now, when that state continues after death, that state continues after death because of the absence of the body. Now, I've said that is under spirit, soul, and body. I've said that the body is like the linking point between the mind, and the spirit. So when that state of separation of the spirit continues after death, because of the absence of the body. That is the reason. It's because the body is no more. Amen. So okay, now don't forget. Also, let me teach something seriously today. One key thing believer have that is also overemphasized in the epistle is a new body. That's the point. One thing that is overemphasized in the scripture that believer have is that new body, or the promise of a new body, is everywhere in the epistle. Everywhere. Philippians 3 verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation is in heaven, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 21, who shall change our very body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Wow. According to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. So the true gospel puts the believer's hope and reward in heaven. Please don't be part of those who read scripture without thinking over it. That is why the way I have told all my pastors, that please don't just make an attitude of quoting scripture. Don't rush anywhere. Don't just quote. Make people read so that people can think over it. Because when he said our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven, the next thing he was saying is that he will change our very body, that it might be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, talking about the believer's glorification. So, well, the true gospel puts the believer's hope and reward in heaven, not in earthly things. That's what I'm trying to say from there. The true gospel puts the believer's hope and reward in heaven, not in earthly things. Nothing on this world can really reward you for what you have done for Christ. Nothing. Nothing. If you are a private jet, it's not enough reward for a soul saved, for a soul taught the word. A private jet here on earth, it does not equate it. 1 Corinthians 15:47. This is a long read, but let's do it together. Amen, amen. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Please look at your Bible. Open your Bible. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Verse 59,
And this I said, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed. Can you see? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Hallelujah. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us victory through the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now where I'm going is verse 58. Therefore, based on this, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain things, it's not in vanity. Your labor is not in vain, it's not in vanity, it's not in things that you can get on that, it's not in things that are flimsy. Amen. Oh, I say I'm the best in my school because I'm a Christian, because I'm a good Christian. No, that cannot be your reward for being a good Christian. Oh, I just got this contract. This is a reward for the evangelism I did in Maraba on Saturday. No, that cannot be your reward. Your reward is not in vain things. God blesses you by default. Even if you're not in ministry, he will still bless you. Amen. 1 John 3 verse 1. Rakim, you're the one that have been telling me if I'm live. I hope you guys are hearing me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Can you see? Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. And now it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. Can you see that? When he shall appear, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him because we will see him as he is. Praise God. Verse 3. And every man that have this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Amen, amen. Ephesians 1:13. So, the new body is a promise strictly for those with the Holy Ghost. The new body is a promise strictly for those with the Holy Ghost. Is a promise strictly for those or is yes an assurance strictly for those with the Holy Ghost. See Ephesians 1:13 and 14. In whom you also trusted, after that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you have believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So the new body is strictly for those who have believed the gospel, those with the Spirit of God. Amen, amen. That means there is no proof from the Bible that an unbeliever will get any new body. Hope you are with me. There is no proof from the Bible that the unbeliever will get a new body. So let me just share with you some troubling verses, and I will talk about the interpretation again. E.g., check Revelation 20 verse 11. Now, I know there are some verses that looks like, that everybody with once everybody will be raised again with another body, that everybody has died without believing the gospel, that they will be raised with another body again. But let's look at them, not in depth, but let's just interpret them with what we have new. Revelation 20, verse 11. Revelation 20, 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Now, since you are already seeing books, you know, this is figurative, this is not literal. And another book was open. Because if it's read today, I didn't know why God would be using book. There is system there. There is iPad. Amen. Which is the book of life. And then we are judged out of those things which are written in the book according to their works. Can you see? Now, this is where I'm going. And see 13 now. And the seed gave up the dead that which were in it. And death and hell were delivered up the dead which are in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. According to their works. If you can circle that word according to their works, you will find a similarity in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. See 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, go to Acts 24, verse 15. Acts of the Apostles 24:20-15, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. But I think other verses explains this better. If you check that John 5 now. Check John 5:28. Check John 5:28. So if you only rely on Acts 24:15, so you think that that means resurrection, that means believers we have body, unbelievers too, we have a new body. But like I said, that an unbeliever will have a new body is not a truth, because if they also have a new body, that means they will not need the Holy Ghost. So that would be funny. So see for John 5:28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear. All that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So the resurrection describes the life or the damnation. Write that down. That resurrection is, it describes the life or the damnation. So like 28 now was not using the resurrection to describe the body. It was using it to describe that it was using to describe the life or the damnation, not the body. Not it was not using to describe their nature, their physical structure. It was using to describe their state. Life, they will rise to life, or they will rise to damnation. Are you with me, brethren? It's not the same way you can. The same way. Sorry, I know this and stuff that are deep, that may be somehow on this type of app. Don't worry. Of course, there's a lot of time to simplify it. So they will rise to life or rise to damnation. So that means at that right now, don't focus on the body. Go to that Daniel 12 verse 1. Daniel chapter 12 verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, that great prince who stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at that time that people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust shall, hope you are looking at your Bible, you can't just do this by just hearing me. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some, can you see, to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Some to shame and everlasting contempt. So like I said again, the resurrection describes their state, not their body. See verse 3 now. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Amen, amen. So I still believe that what those verses explain is the same thing 2 Thessalonians was talking, chapter 2 was talking about. It's the same thing we have been looking at. So it was talking about the revelation of the sinners and the revelation of the just. That's what I'm saying. Go back to that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Thank God for Paul that made it clear. Because we are going to have a body because we have the Spirit of God. So, the man has not believed the gospel. You know, if he has a body that is eternal too, then that would be serious. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be what troubled neither by the Spirit nor by word nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. That means don't be agitated, don't be troubled. Let this message bring you comfort. That means there's nothing you should read after this that should scare you. So again, if you have not been following us thus far, this should not scare you. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So can you see, falling away, that of course, that's the saint, the man of sin be revealed, revelation, who opposeth and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that as he as God seated in the temple of God, that is pride and unbelief and rejection of the mercy of God, that is self-justification, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5, remember not that when I was with you, I told you of these things. Don't forget also that in verse 4, it's not really E. It's a compound, they are just all compound words in the Greek. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Let me say it again. All the E, who opposed all and exalted, you know the way verse 3 and 4 is scripted. It's scripted like it's talking about just one man. But actually, if you check the Greek, you see that all those E, they are not really, they don't have to be one person. And you with me? They don't have to be one person. It can be multiple. It describes the man in unbelief. So see verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what we told them, that it might be revealed. We know what is we told him that revealed. And that revelation, of the man in sin. So I think this is also the same thing that Daniel was called, and Daniel and Acts chapter 24 was calling resurrection. Verse 7, for the ministry of iniquity doth already work, only that he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed. Can you see? Revealed, not resurrected, revealed. That means their state will be made known, will be made full bloom. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all this is the works that Revelation is talking about. They will be judged according to their works. This is the working. The working is unbelief. The working is rejection. And with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, for they receive not, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 11, for this cause shall God send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That, and of course, what is that strong delusion? I've explained that this is the taking away of the saints, of the preachers, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Amen, amen. So don't forget, this is talking about the revelation. So now, before we close today, let me show you something again. Please pay attention right now. Are you with me? Is your notes up to date? Are you with me? Are you writing? Are you following? Amen, amen. We have less people listening today. Was that too soon, or the two breaks gave some people eternal break? Okay. Now, I want to show you something. Now start getting meticulous with your writing, right, line by line. How does man emerge? Man emerges as spirit and body. but the mind grows up with time. Let me say it again. Man emerges as spirit and body. And the mind grows up with time. The mind catches up with time. That is why you will find a lot of verses that just seems to speak about only the body and spirit of man. Not talking about the soul. Amen. Not talking about the mind. Please don't forget this. The mind will grow up. The mind will catch up. The mind will grow up with time. That's just talks about like the babies. The mind, their mind is maturing. But man emerges as spirit and body. Don't forget this concept. I'm about to say. Just check this verse. Check James 2:26. Check James chapter 2 verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without work is dead. Can you see? He didn't say the body without the soul is dead. The body without the spirit, as the body without the spirit is dead. So man emerges as spirit and body. You see Daniel 7:15. Daniel 7:15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. So I was grieving my spirit and in the midst of my body. You know, spirit and body. Like, there's, if you look at that word very well. Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body. And the vision of my head troubled me. See, go to the epistles. Go to Romans 8, verse 13. It's a general statement. It's talking about salvation. Talking about justification by works, about justification of faith, not really talking about walking and the spirit, talking about being justified by the spirit. See Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, that is to seek self-justification, you shall die. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So see, through the spirit, deeds of the body. Go to verse 23 of the same Romans. And not only, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we also do groaning within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body. Now see the way Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 3. Spirit and body alone. Spirit and body. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 3. So those two are key to man. Spirit and body. So when you remove the body, when the body removes, something happens. Don't forget. See 1 Corinthians 5 verse 3. For I verily as absent in the body, but present in the spirit. Now serious. I've judged already as though I was present, concerning that as though such did. Absent in the body, present in the spirit. Okay? And don't take that literally. Don't take it literally. I don't think man's spirit is omnipresent. 1 Corinthians 6:20. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Pastor Joy, are you there? Are you listening? 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let me say it again. Talking to the believer, for you are bought with a price, therefore, talking to the believer, glorify God where? In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So now, what did the Lord buy? Pay attention right now. Pay attention. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what did the Lord buy? Or what has the Lord bought? Thank you, man. The Lord has bought your body and your spirit.
What can the Lord buy, and what has the Lord bought? He has bought your body. He has bought our body and our spirit. What cannot be bought? Our mind. That mind part, you must yield that one willingly to Him. That is the reason for Romans 12, to renew your mind. Of course, Romans 12 talking about ministry, as touching ministry. So that mind part is what we willingly yield to Him, even right now. No mind is automatically okay like that. Oh. What the Lord bought is body and spirit. Pay attention. And also, please, you can just put this one in brackets. This is also the reason why you cannot accuse a baby of sin. His mind is yet to evolve. That soul concept is still evolving. It cannot be held accountable. There exists innocent. Amen. Now, let me ask this question. What do you think will now happen when we have a new body? Like, what do you think will now happen when we have a new body? What do you think will happen after, let me say, use the word, after Jesus come? Will the mind still be a wanderer? Will the mind still need to grow up progressively like it's doing right now? Let's check that First Thessalonians 5:23 again. I think we have read it before. I think we started from there. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I say, would the mind still be a wanderer? Would the mind still be doing one up and down? He said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit, now and soul and body. I think this is one of the two places also, or the almost the only place that these three is used together. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if he's praying, well, the I pray there actually is the issue. It's not really a prayer like that. It's declaration by the reason of redemption. I will come to that not today. Now, so, but don't forget, I told you something. The spirit of man is different. Like now, my spirit right now is not my wife's spirit. She's different. I am different. And that spirit is the identity of man. So, but the mind, of course, now in Christ, don't forget, your mind has been joined to the Lord. Now you are one spirit with the Lord. Your spirit right now, our spirit, our individual spirit. We don't have a together spirit, though. Amen. But our individual spirit are now one with the same spirit of God. Are you with me? So I'm not saying right now all our spirit is bind together, right? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying your spirit is joined to the Lord. My own spirit is joined to the Lord. That is what I can find in the Bible. So, but still, our mind is still catching up into the reality of the spirit. Our mind is still catching up with the reality of our spirit. So right now, the spirit is pouring out to the mind. Are you with me? Right now, you can say our spirit right now, as we learn God's word, as we pray, our spirit is pouring out into our mind through the body. Through the body. Don't forget that it's through the body. Through the body. Through the body. So, in all sincerity, when we get to heaven, what do you think will happen? Will there still be a mind? Just follow me progressively. Don't worry, it's not deep something. Just listen. Just pay attention. That's what I'm saying. Pay attention. Don't be agitated. So, I said when we get to heaven, in all sincerity, will there still be a mind? Pay attention. See that Matthew, for instance, now. Just give us a pointer. See that Matthew 22, verse 29. Matthew 22:29. Matthew 22:29. Amen.
Matthew 20:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For this is talking about those who are want to be married in heaven. For in the resurrection, can you see, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given to, in marriage, but are as the angels, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So now, what it looks like is that it looks like the mind will resume the full identity of the spirit. Not memory failure. Say, it looks like the mind will resume the full identity of the spirit. Not a memory failure. See, you can't be in heaven and your mind is still permitted to wander around. Because if the mind did not catch up, if the mind is still like this and you get to heaven like this, there will be a problem. Amen. So praise God. Now you can leave that there. We talk more on that later. So, because the question is that, people ask question that in heaven, are we still going to, will there still be a teaching meeting? Will there still be a teaching meeting? Well, me, I think I would prefer the teaching meeting to be on earth. But well, there may be, but it will be positive, not like it is right now. Because the sources of doubt, which is basically a function of the type of body we have right now, it will be no more, because then we have a new body. So you can just keep that as part of your answer, which I will answer in fullness later. So now, the man, let's not talk about where I'm really going today. The man that has not believed the gospel, what of him? After death, he will, or after judgment, he will exist without body in rebellion to God. That means it will exist without a physical body. Just hold on. It will be real low. I'm not saying it will be extinct. That there is no body does not mean extinction. That is the error some people have made. That I know some people have that doctrine. I think it's not Jehovah's Witness or something like that. That say, well, when I've heard it over 15 years ago now. That when the dead people who don't like God, when they die, they will just go like that. No. The spirit of man is indestructible. Because it's the creation of God. So the man that has not believed the gospel, we exist without body in rebellion to God. Why am I saying that? Because there is no proof from the Bible that they will get a new body. It's not that they will not get an old body. There's no old body. Amen. So it will be real, but without a body. Now, do you remember I told you about hellfire? You should remember that I told you about hellfire. I said then that the fire is symbolic of pain, right? That should be understanding Genesis series 2. Should be series 2. So I told you that the fire is symbolic of the pain, but the hell is the state. The fire is symbolic of the pain, but the hell is the state. We looked at everywhere hell was used in the Bible, Gehenna, Hades, etc. So, not that they will not exist, but they will exist as spirits without body, with their mind in full rebellion against God. Why? Why would their mind be in full rebellion against God? Because there is no physical body involved again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Since there is no physical body involved again. So also, that is also why hell cannot be physical fire. Are you with me? That is also why hell cannot be physical fire. You know, I told you before, I said as fire to the body, so will the pain of separation be to the spirit of the man in a permanent state of absence from God. So as fire to the is to the body, you know, the same way fire is to the body, so will the pain of separation be to the spirit of the man in permanent state of absence from God. Hallelujah. Now, pay attention. So will the pain of separation be to the spirit of man in permanent state of absence from God. So hell is a state the unbeliever drags around. That means hell is what they are for right now. I've showed you from that John chapter 3, John 3:18, 2 Thessalonians. Hell is the state, is the current state of the unbeliever drags around right now. The man in sin is a moving hell. He is moving in hell. He is there. So also, hallelujah, heaven is first a nature that the believer has today. Now, pay attention. Hell is the state. That means hell first exists as how? As a state that the unbeliever drags around. And heaven is a nature that the believer has today. So, now, please write this down. The nature of the unbeliever's destination, the nature of the unbeliever's destination will be the reality of the state of his mind. That is what is called revelation in that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The nature of the unbeliever's destination will be the reality of the state of his mind. The reality of the state of his mind. He will only get what he asks for. Independence, separation. Same as us. Hallelujah. We agree with the gospel, then we get unity forever. So, the question will be, so, like, with all I have said, let me now ask you this question. Therefore, who created hell in the first place? Or, sorry, let me say, call it this way. So, who created the place called hell? Who created the physical location called hell? Hallelujah. Of course, you should be able to answer. Amen, amen. Because based on, think on what I have said before, hell is first a nature. God is first a nature. Hell is that damnation. Hell is that rot. Hell is that result of separation. Hell is when I'm saying I don't want God. And Jesus said, when a man does not believe the gospel, he is condemned already. Do you know why? Because his mind and his spirit will be in disunity. His mind and his spirit will now be in disunity. The spirit is created to as the home for God, the mind is fighting that. So is the mind and the spirit in disunity is the L. Are you with me? Because don't forget, the spirit needs to have God as home. So the spirit is yearning for God. The mind is fighting that. So I said, so therefore, who created the place called L? So the answer will be clear. Whoever created the place called hell will be the first man that died physically in rebellion against God. Get me clearly. Who created the place called hell, or whatever you call it, hellfire or anything, they call fire, anyone you call it. It will be the first man that died. The first man that went out of the body. Why in rebellion against God? Why his mind is rebelling against God? Did you guess that? Amen, amen. Because the state will determine the place. The state exists before the place. In fact, the place is a determinant of the state. Let me now ask you a counter question. Also,
who created heaven? Anyway, that should be clear anyway. I wanted to remove this from the teaching, but since I've talked about it, I have to talk about this because it's the one that concerns you. So who created heaven? It is clear. Heaven will be created by the first man to be born again. Amen. Praise God. Who created heaven? That will be the first man to be born again. Amen, amen. We call him the author of eternal salvation. The author of eternal salvation. You can go and find his name. Check Google. You know his name. Anyway, more about all I just been saying, you find it in, it's coming soon in our Jesus series 2. Our Jesus series 2 is coming soon. And try and lay your hands on it. Now, so hope you can see now what it takes for these questions to be answered without throwing stones. Like, it takes a lot. It takes a lot. It takes a lot. So, a lot of people are seeking for answers and a lot of concepts. But it takes diligent and detailed Bible interpretation, line upon line, to explain that. I remember there was a lady on Facebook that went viral. That, how can God throw somebody into hell? How can God throw somebody into hell? Well, yes, you are right. You are seeing God as love, but you are not patient with the Bible. You must be patient to arrive at the destination of revelation, right? Bible interpretation. So, anyway, closing right now. So, I implore you, rather. So, and of course, talking to ministers and pastors, those little flock that you pastor, you must train them. Because it takes a lot to teach the Bible. It takes a lot. It's not a joke. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it takes a lot. Therefore, pastors, ministers, I beseech you, train your disciples, train your flocks. Pastor Joy of Kubwa, Pastor Joshua, Pastor Ojo, train your people, train them. When your guys are speaking on Facebook, let them speak with sense. Let them speak and you say, that is my disciple. That's awesome. See, you are the minimum standard for your disciple. That's the point. That means if Bookie is scoring low, I will question Pastor Joy. Amen, amen. Yeah, and if Sister Omar or all my keyboardists in Kaduna, if he's scoring low, I will question Pastor Joshua. So you are the minimum standard for your disciples. Glory to God. So you drill it down to them, train them. Why? It takes a lot. Men are seeking for answers. Why will God create everything? Must see what it takes to answer that question. Praise God. So also, pick every series, especially the ones we have taught in church, pick every series and become a master of them all. Pick every series and understand. I don't want to hear my pastor said though, it is the Bible said. Hallelujah. It is the word said. It is written. This is what is written. Not my pastor said, not the word said. I'm sorry, not my pastor said, not it's written, it's in our series. No, you must understand. Right now, that means everything, like what we have said today right now, so for us to come to this conclusion, see how we took it line upon line. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, like, be a trainer. Don't just come to church and you teach without expectation. As you teach men, expect them to get better. Expect them to teach better. I look at the way all of you teach at times on what's sales update on Facebook. Like taking men line upon line. Glory to God. Not just copying and paste my sermon. You teach from your own understanding. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Let me end with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Can you see that word? We persuade men. Glory to God. We persuade men. We pacify men.
But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also that we are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but we give you occasion to glory on our behalf. Amen, amen. That you might have someone to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we just judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. And in that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth not live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yet we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. At times, the ministry is not just by quick preaching. At times, you can lay it to the unbeliever line upon line. If you check in Acts 17, Paul was preaching to unbelievers, trying to get them saved. Bible says he was there three synagogues. That means like three Sabbath days. He was in three synagogues for three Sabbath days, teaching them. So at times you can, because it's because of these questions that a lot of people are just that make this so convenient for them to just take a stand against the gospel. You say your God is love. Yes, you want to throw somebody into hell. How come? Amen, amen. Hell is simply what the unbeliever is asking for. But you must take them through the journey to arrive at this. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I believe as we get better with preaching and teaching, we are going to help men the more. So he gave us the ministry. It's not a quick thing. It's not a shout on them. Shout, say Jesus after, say after me. It's not say after me. He's teaching. Unbelievers can be taught till they understand. That's why the Bible is written. That's why we have a book like Hebrews that is sufficient to bring the legalistic just by reading. A proof. God created a man with a mind, right? So that mind that seems wicked, God by his word, by the power of his word, he will appeal to that mind. By the power of his word, by the power of truth, he will convince that mind. Hallelujah. By right Bible interpretation, God will yet convince that mind of the man in rebellion through you, through me and you. So verse 19, to win that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Why? For he has made him to be sin for us, praise God, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. So this is our duty, is our mission. It's our duty. It's what we are called to do. It's what we are called to teach the knowledge of God. We are called to preach and teach what he has done, who God is to man, how he is the savior of man, and not the one with a dagger that wants to send man to one place that is burning. Amen. Praise God. So pick up this message. Pick up this ministry. When you are teaching, make sense in your preaching. And God bless you all. Thank you for today. Amen. All I can say is-